Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we will continue in our new series of studies, which we have entitled Seven Reasons Why Christ Died, or we might say Seven Reasons Why Christ Must Die. And we dwelt on the last broadcast to fulfill prophecy, and he died that he might fulfill prophecy, and how important that is, that the prophecy spoke of his death. We emphasize it properly, and we'll not repeat. Now today we wish to speak upon to save us from our sins. That probably is the most current and most knowledgeable title that we can think of in connection with the death of Christ. Because, of course, we read in 1 Corinthians, Christ died for our sins. That's just a plain out statement. And we will just turn to that scripture and read it, that we might see how that he died to save us from our sins. Paul writes there in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, beginning at verse 1, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, and I may see he received it from the Holy Spirit of God, and the Spirit inspired him to write this portion of Scripture. I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. This was not something that Paul formulated in his own mind. This was God's message spoken through him. All right, here it is. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now this, in a nutshell, is the gospel. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. The gospel is good news, glad tidings. We would call it good news. And that is the best news that man ever heard. Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. Now that means that we do not have to go to hell because we sinned against God. Christ died for those sins. And we need to know that. And we need to publish it. We need to witness to Christ and give others that same hope and that same chance that we had to accept our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ died for our sins. At last, that is the answer to this terrible, terrible problem, because sins separate us from God. I'd like to read a few scriptures in that connection. And first of all, I'd like to turn to the early chapters of Genesis, chapter 3 of the book of Genesis, and see how sin came into the world, and see immediately how it separated Adam and Eve from God. Now here we have in the third chapter of Genesis, this is familiar territory, but it's very important. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. Satan is a liar and the father of it. And this is the first lie in the Scriptures. Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her. And he did eat, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. Now, notice what effect this sin had. Verse 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God, among the trees of the garden. And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. God knew immediately what had happened. But here is the effect of sin. It separated God from Adam and Eve, and that's just exactly what Satan wanted. Satan was jealous of Adam because he was to be the Lord over this new creation, and Satan wanted it. His ambitions were absolutely without parallel. And he got it away from Adam. He stole it away from him by telling his wife a lie. And they were separated. And finally, at the close of this very chapter, we read there, Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed him at the east of the Garden of Eden, cherubims, and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. He was expelled from the Garden of Eden. Sin separates. Now Isaiah recognized the separating force of sin, where we read there in Isaiah chapter 59 verses 1 and 2, Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Oh, how significant! Ezekiel saw its awful effect. Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 4. Behold, all souls are mine, God says. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And death is separation. Death is never annihilation. It is separation. When we have physical death, the soul and the spirit are separated from the body. And spiritual death is separation from God. And Adam and Eve died the very day they took that forbidden fruit. They died spiritually. Satan says, you won't die. They died in the worst possible way. They died spiritually. Now our sins will take us to hell. And I'm not mincing words when I say that. I want to read a few scriptures in rapid succession, proving that wonderful fact. I say that wonderful fact, well, it's an awesome fact. Maybe I'd better state it that way. We read in Psalm 9, verse 17, The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. All right, Proverbs 7 and 27, spoken by the Lord. Her house is the way to hell, and he's talking about the house of the harlot. Read it in the 7th chapter of Proverbs. Going down to the chambers of death. Yes, her house is the front door to hell. Matthew 5 and 30. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable to thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Now the Lord here is using hyperbole. Rather than cut my hand off, I'd rather stop what my hand was doing, wouldn't you? But he is making it as strong as possible. There is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And then we read also in Luke chapter 16, verse 23, the rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. 2 Peter 2 and 4, if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell. Oh, I think we've had enough of this. Hell is a terrible, terrible reality. And believe me, we should be fearful, very, very fearful of it. And it's the ambition of this program to tell us what God has done about the matter of our sins, so that we will not go to that awful place. I want to read one song, verse of the third chapter of John. I think this is probably the best known verse in the Bible. Many of you can repeat it. Do so if you wish while I read it. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to die on the cross of Calvary. I'm not doing this correctly. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God gave him full will, knowing that he would die on that cross to take away our sins. And that's exactly what he did. Now we read in Romans chapter 5, 6, and 8, the fact that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. Verse 6 of the 5th chapter of Romans, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Yes, Christ died for our sins, and that is the reason that he died. And I think probably this comes the closest to us. It meets our need. We realize our sin. We realize our sin will keep us out of heaven. And isn't it good news to know we don't have to go to hell? God's salvation becomes ours the moment we receive it by faith. There's a wonderful verse in Romans chapter 6. And here it is, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Salvation is a gift and must be received as a gift. We couldn't earn it, we couldn't merit it, so God just gave it to us that we might indeed enjoy his presence for the whole of eternity. Think of it, if you will, in this wonderful verse. God, the wages of sin rather is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Free for the taking, appropriated by faith. Do we believe God? He took care of the problem of our sins on that cross when he gave his Son to suffer and to die for you and for me. And he took the burden of our sin. He died for them. He died for those sins that we might go to heaven. Will we believe God? Will we put out the hand of faith and just take it from God? God grant that we might do that and rejoice in the knowledge of a full salvation and realize why Christ died. He died for us, that we might be his and his forever. Our Father, today, impress these wonderful truths on our hearts by the power of your Holy Spirit. We pray in Christ's name, giving thanks. Amen.